Then I have the privilege of introducing the next speaker. Herenisa Galata is the program manager for the STAND project at the Mary Amelia Center, and she will also talk about how that actually adapted to unanticipated change. Please, Nisa.
Good morning, everyone. And as Dr. Magnus mentioned, my name is Herenisa Galata. I'm currently the program manager for STAND, and I'll be talking about how our project anticipated the unexpected after Hurricane Katrina with flexibility and a living logic model. And I would like to acknowledge Stacy Cunningham and Dr. Magnus from the Tulane School of Public Health, as well as our partners Paula Zina and Jean Valier with the Louisiana Office of Public Health and the Maternal and Child Health Office. Three years and 2 months ago, Hurricane Katrina and the subsequent levee breaches devastated Greater New Orleans. In the weeks following August 29, 2005, I viewed image after image like the one you see here from my apartment in New York City. Just a week earlier, I'd said goodbye to friends and family in New Orleans after spending some unforgettable summer months in a city so unique and so special. The storm caused unprecedented damage to individuals and infrastructure of our city. It impacted so many lives in many different ways, personally and professionally. But the experience itself is a common thread that binds all of New Orleans together. Hurricane Katrina was a community stress experience, personal yet shared, common yet unknown. The disaster compounded pre-existing disparities in access to healthcare, education, and affordable housing. But as the floodwaters receded and we started to rebuild, it was also clear that our losses were a lot more than just material. The social fabric of our city was torn, and the social networks that sustained so many people before Katrina were also washed away. Immediately after the storm, the Mary Amelia Center of Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine and the Maternal Child Health Office of the Louisiana Office of Public Health partnered to design the STAND project. It was a public health program that addressed individual and community stress by focusing on women as gatekeepers to community health. This is what we know. Women's physical and mental health directly impacts family and community function. We also know that women are often the primary caregivers and health information seekers for their families. Women are also more likely to be affected by depression, anxiety, and PTSD, specifically post-disaster. And STAND was designed to respond to these concerns by drawing upon the strengths and stories of women in post-Katrina New Orleans. Before Hurricane Katrina, the Mary Amelia Center had a history of success with lay health education, or LHE, programs for chronic disease prevention and breastfeeding promotion. The initial goal of the STAND project was to create a model lay health education program for disseminating information about stress and depression. To our knowledge, this was one of the first times that a lay health education model would be used to address mental health concerns. STAND's initial project paradigm, or CORE, as I have it here, was based on a few key components. Supported by public health evidence, learned from our work in the field, and felt deeply by our personal experiences as women living in New Orleans. Our project was community participatory and evidence-based, which reflects our center's standard for designing and implementing community-based health promotion programs for women. Through an academic community partnership between the Tulane School of Public Health and the Office of Maternal and Child Health, STAND utilized resources from our institution and leveraged a strong relationship that we already had with that office. These project principles were largely derived from our pre-Katrina knowledge and successes, but much of STAND's first year was devoted to formative research, outreach, and curriculum development. During that time, STAND's experience in the new normalcy of post-Katrina recovery informed the project's approach even more. When it came to relaying information, part of our core principles are based on adult learning and a non-clinical approach to mental health. Thereby, our paradigm expanded to incorporate these two approaches when we were designing our curriculum and our brochures for STAND. Now, as I mentioned before, formative research was a key element of our program development. However, the degree of continuous change in the community was unanticipated, and it's still going on. We learned that our research captured a mere snapshot of a very dynamic landscape. People and institutions in New Orleans after Katrina remained transient and displaced for a very long time. Communities were constantly in flux, and many individuals who would have participated in a program like STAND before the storm just weren't in a position to do so. So what happens when we have this really well-designed map that just doesn't fit the terrain? We had to adjust, and this is how we adjusted our project. So as I mentioned, STAND's original proposal was presented around this core, and it was presented as a demonstration project. We conducted formative research in the form of focus groups and key informant interviews. Then we designed our program based on what we learned from this research, the existing literature on the subject about lay health education and post-disaster mental health, and our experience with past health education programming in New Orleans communities. To address stress and depression, we designed a community-based lay health education model to disseminate information in the community. Our outreach and partnership strategies were grounded in our pre-Katrina expectations and experiences. Our evaluation was outcome-focused and based on mostly quantifiable outcomes, like the numbers of lay health educators we trained, what we got from evaluation forms in the form of feedback, how many brochures we disseminated, and the number of women that the lay health educators reached. We developed a curriculum for our STAND trainings, our workshops, and our outreach and take-home brochures based on the design. But then, as STAND started delivering the program, it soon became clear that these approaches had to adjust to our new situation. In a demonstration project, the outcome evaluation comes after this delivery phase. But in the case of STAND, addressing the needs of communities recovering, we were concerned with feasibility. What was working, how it was working, what wasn't working, and why. So at this point in our project, as opposed to gathering a lot of outcome measures, we looked to feedback for guidance. And we incorporated intense process evaluation as an element of our program design. We combined qualitative and quantitative approaches like journaling by me and by our partners, documentation and logs. We consulted with our project partnership team, community partners, and we remained engaged in the literature. With this information from process evaluation, we refined and adjusted our project, and then we re-delivered our program elements and continued to receive feedback. Now, it's great when a program can change to suit what the community needs. However, a project can't be so flexible that it disregards the benefits of an evidence-based public health model. So when thinking about balancing flexibility and fidelity, how can our program development and implementation balance being accountable and adaptable? So in order for STAND to be an effective feasibility study, I like to think about balancing these three Fs: fidelity, feedback, and flexibility. When it comes to fidelity, we always remain true to our core philosophy that I mentioned earlier, that we're community participatory, evidence-based, and grounded in adult learning principles. When it comes to feedback, our process evaluation provides an acceptable methodology in public health, so it's systematic. And when it comes to flexibility, that comes from how we work with all available resources. We use innovative activities and approaches based on what we've learned, and we remain resilient in response to our unexpected successes and our challenges. We're also fortunate to have a partnership that enables our flexibility. By sharing our vision and goals, sharing our professional expertise and experience, and all having a vested interest in program success, ourselves at the Mary Amelia Center and our partners at OPH both help us as we move forward with our project. While every community project needs to be flexible, our experience with the unexpected and anticipated was beyond our wildest expectations in post-Katrina New Orleans. Many pre-existing community structures were wiped out, people remained displaced and transient over long periods of time, and our personal lives and organizations were also affected. Learning and needing to adjust to new situations often involves changing the way we think about our project and how we tailor our approach, and we conceive these adjustments as paradigm shifts. When it comes to our program goals and measuring our success, we moved from a demonstration project to a feasibility study. When it came to the language that we used for our project, we moved from a clinical mental health model to a non-clinical model and focused more on well-being, stress, coping, and social support. When it came to the approach to our activities, we moved from a more didactic teaching model to a participatory learning model where we all shared the knowledge that we already had and brought to the table. STAND is also based on a living logic model. We used this living logic model as a roadmap. It outlined our program rationale, the components of our programs, and our outcomes. It's also a strategic planning tool. It's designed to fit where the program is. We revise it as the program components and activities adjust and respond to our feedback, and we refine it as the program moves forward. So now we are still standing, and we have a few program components. We have workshops on stress and coping, we do a story sharing workshop, and we also do a workshop on social support and health. We continue to do a community women's health advocate training, which is like a lay health education model. We've developed resource materials based on evidence and the feedback we've received. And we're always and constantly engaging community and doing community outreach and partnerships, sharing our resources, and also capacity building. So our project program goals are identifying key elements for successful community-based stress, coping skills, and social support programming, enhancing the awareness of the importance of social support for health and stress management, and strengthening community capacity to create social support opportunities. And as we anticipated the unexpected, we learned a few lessons, which I outlined in this presentation. Those include always being faithful to the core principles of the project, listening to community at all times, and being flexible and patient as the program moves forward. And this often includes thinking outside of the box and always having a backup plan. As one woman stated plainly and powerfully in one of our focus groups, I call each and everyone in New Orleans my neighbor. A spirit of connectedness still survives in our city. However, it takes our constantly listening to each other and learning from our new situations to renew these connections and to be able to utilize them to promote community wellness in stressful times. Thank you.